So we are praying for the impossible, and we're believing for impossible things. And we're beginning our house of prayer. We're going to start on the 5th of September, so there's still time to get signed up. And even when we get started, we still want you to jump in. And we're starting for the week of fasting. So I'm just preempting that. I'm just putting that out in your hearts. And I really want to charge us this time that we're going to go after biblical fasting of challenging ourselves over food or things that would just distract us from our time. But I feel in some way it has to be connected to food because that's the way God always described it in his word. And we're not going to not do something. It's not going to be just about not doing something. It's going to be about doing something different, doing something actually, doing something more. So prepare your heart for that over this next couple of Sundays. And then the 5th of September, really go for it. But I want to tell you this. Since 2006, God has been calling us to go after the impossible. We had a dream to start in young adults. But when we started, even before we started, it was not my first design. It was not my first calling. It was not my first idea. In the sense that I was nervous, I was scared. I was like, pick somebody else, Lord. And then I realized, I don't want him to pick somebody else. I want him to pick me, and he has chosen me, and he has called me. And I want to say the same to you. Maybe there's a word in your heart that's been in there nearly 20 years, 2006. Maybe it's 2020. Maybe it's just over this last 6 months. Maybe it's been for 50 years. I want to tell you, why not today? Why not get geared up to go today and start tomorrow? Because God's calling us into impossible situations that we think are just way above us. But if God's called us, he will supply and he will provide. And so he called us to stand in the gap for others. That was really our call. How can we stand in the gap for those that are wanting to live for God and go crazy in the things of God? But as young people, they're just finding it tough. We have not changed today. Our mandate has not changed. We have people of all ages, but our call is still to that young adults because we know it's such a difficult age. What do you do when you leave school? What do you do when you go to university? How do you find yourself without finding all the temptations and sin of life and then maybe losing your faith along the way? We say, no, why not go hard the other way? Living on fire for the things of God. Going after what God has called you to. So we've been praying and declaring the faith that we have for the impossible for nearly 20 years, seeing a generation on fire for God. That is really what God has called us to. And what we discovered was this. We discovered loads of good things, but we also discovered trials, loss, defeats, and long waits. And then along the way, incredible, incredible victories. But it did start to go because we had the altars a few years at the start. We saw lots of people get saved going to a worship concert and thrill seekers as we went in the roller coasters. But it was a metaphor for what our journey looked like. Incredible times of increase, incredible times of God doing incredible things that was hard to even put words to. And then just ridiculous lows, ridiculous challenges, ridiculous trials, ridiculous situations. We're like, how did we get into this mess? And sometimes we were at fault, and yet God was so gracious and he was so kind. But the goodness of God is that in the midst of that tension, he is still faithful. And that's what our lives look like a lot of the times. There's a tension. We have a promise and we're waiting for delivery. We have a promise and we're waiting for it to come to pass. We've had a promise, but now we've got trials. And Lord, we're like, what are you saying? What are you doing? And it looks like a wait. And we say, Lord, I've been waiting for so long. What will I do? And I believe that part of the big thing that God's called us to build a house of prayer and to go after Project Prayer is because Project Possible is still on the table and we're still after not just a building being built, but a city saved. We're still after our nation restored. We're still after a beautiful bride being made and built and restored because a beautiful groom is coming back in the form of Jesus to restore all things and to take us home to glory. What a wonderful picture of the bride of Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, why not today? Why not give it to him? You see, God speaks, and then we follow, and then we're waiting for results. And sometimes results are not what we expect. Or sometimes we do absolutely everything the way we think we need to do it, and then results never come. They never come. You plant the seed, you pray faithfully, you water it, you watch out, and then harvest time comes and you don't get the harvest you want. Ask a farmer. They will tell you that has happened many times. But the decision really comes with, do I quit with what I'm called to, or do I stay faithful and know that it's coming through? And I want to challenge you that if you've been called to it, then breakthrough is on the way. It may feel like it's years away. It may have been years, but breakthrough is on the way because God is so faithful. And so I read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Let me wash a few of these verses over your heart today. It says, do you know? Have you not heard? All question marks. The Lord is everlasting, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, notice this, those who hope in the Lord and renew their strength, they will soar on wings like eagles. Hey, they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Come on. This is the promise of our God. It's not that we get everything that we're promised. It's that no matter what we go through, we will not grow weary. We will rise up on wings like eagles. We will renew our strength. Our hope will not fail. And we will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint because God is with us. See, sometimes we forget because of the world that we're in. It's about accumulation. It's about possessions. It's about this thing, this grade. Come on, grades don't define you. We're sick of saying it, but they still hurt. Money doesn't define you, but it hurts when you don't have it. Jobs don't define you, but it hurts when you don't have one. But really what God is saying, I am it for you. Walk with me all the days of your life. That's really what you're going to look back on. And it's hard at this point in our lives, depending on what age you are. But I guarantee when we get older, I guarantee when we get to eternity, we're going to look back and we're going to see what money really looked like. We're going to see what achievements really look like. And we're going to look and we're going to see, but a life well lived with God. Wow. Now that was an achievement. Now that was my legacy. Now that was my life call. I want to encourage us, guys, no matter where we find ourselves, hope in the Lord, and He will renew your strength no matter what. I don't want what He has. I want Him. I don't want what He gives me. I just want Him. That's the call of our hearts. So many of God's plans are being worked out through us. This is the good thing about God. They get worked out through us. But guess what? So many of them get lost as we're waiting, because we give up. We say, I don't know, God, this thing's not for me. I get distracted by some other thing. Delilah, you know what I'm saying? Samson, Delilah. I get distracted by Delilah. I get distracted by this thing. I get called off course because another greater, it seems greater opportunity comes along. I get distracted. I get consumed. I get pulled away. I want to say, stay with your hope in the Lord. Stay with Him and He will renew your strength. And so why do we do this? Well, we lose hope. We got to be real with ourselves. Sometimes we lose hope. We focus on what God's called us to, but in our minds, we've got a time limit. Now, we don't tend to say this or even conceive this, but in reality terms, we've got a time limit. It's like, God, I need this to happen. I'm waiting for a baby to be born. I'm waiting for a job to come through. You know, I'm trusting my family's going to get saved. This is going to happen, and I know it's going to be within the next 5 years. But what do we do when it's not the next 5 years? What happens then becomes really, really tough. We could lose hope. We can stop expecting. You know, we've been waiting for something, then we begin to like, I'm not expecting anymore. I'm not hopeful anymore. I'm not seeing it. Maybe things have changed. Maybe I got it wrong. And we get full self-doubt or maybe even self-pity, which is another way of just messing ourselves up. Come on, be free from all the traps of the enemy. We stop praying. We stop believing. We get distracted onto something else. This is such a big one. Or we get discouraged by the length of time. Don't let those things pull you off course. Here's the real truth. God's plans are usually long haul. They're usually long haul. God's plans are usually long haul. In fact, multi-generational. God's plans are usually multi-generational. In fact, usually they are. God's plans are from beginning to end. He doesn't look at it as your life to the next life. He doesn't look at it in the next 5 to 10 years. He doesn't program like that. He doesn't work like that. He's the beginning and the end. He's outside of time. He's the Alpha and Omega. Everything else is in between. He looks at it like this. You know, we see time like this. He's just like, boom, it's all right there. Your granny, your mom, your dad, your son. He just sees it all. It's right in front of him. It's all right there. And so do not be discouraged. Be mindful that God's promises are most, if not all the time, mostly all the time, long haul. And so we focus on Him. But we always think now, don't we? We always think it's going to be now. Go on, now. And there's a point to that. And I think we hold both things well because we realize God's in control, but we believe for them today. Come on, there's part of that we do carry. We've got to carry that well in faith. But we're not on this now as if we don't get it, then this is God. We realize that both are working together. And as I declare faith and trust God in the process, things are going to come to pass. God is in control. And so my question today is, what impossible task or issue are you facing right now? What is that impossible task? What's that miracle that you're trusting for? What's that belief that's coming through? You know, I laughed at my dad this week. He said to me, he goes, well, you thought you were done and then God had other ideas and here's the son that you dreamt of. In a lot of ways, what he spoke was true. I'm not sure it was as final as that, but in a lot of ways, what he spoke was true. Because it wasn't the thing that was consuming my heart all the time. It wasn't the thing I would love, absolutely. But I trusted God with it. And then just like that, God blessed. Wow. Now, Nikki would not say just like that, but in the grand scheme of things, it's a bit like just like that. I want to say we can focus on what we don't have. We can focus on the problem. We can focus on the miracle. Or we can keep our eyes on the prize. And we can keep moving on the things of God. And watch how God's going to bless with all your heart's delight in between. Remember, the Lord knows your heart. And he gives you the desires of your hearts. The delights of your heart. This is his goodness. This is his kingdom. You see, Project Possible. It's one of those that, you know, we have to keep conversation with. Because God gave us a picture of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah is this incredible story of this guy who was 800 miles away, but he heard of his people in distress. In fact, he asked for a report from his brother Hanani, and Hanani says, look, we're trying to rebuild the walls, it's just too hard, we can't do it. The city's in desolation and the people are discouraged. We don't know what to do. And Nehemiah's heart began to break. And I believe that Project Possible is a bit like that for us in our life. If you don't know the story, God called us to begin a youth group in 2006, and then around 2013, 14, 15, he began to call us to plant the church. We never wanted to do that. And then he said, but it's my way, not your way. And I was like, you're right. You're right. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. You probably know the story. If you don't, that's what it was like. Literally hit me like a ton of bricks. And then we start this church plant, which I swore I'd never do. Not because I didn't want to follow the plans of God, but I didn't want it to be like a divisional thing. I didn't want it to be like another church wasn't good enough. And then God corrected my thinking. He says, forget all that human thinking. Start to think like half. I've called you to plant this church. This is my thing, not yours or nobody else's. This is what I've called you to. And he called us to plant the church. And so faithfully we began in 2015. But in 2017, he lifted up our gaze and he said, are you ready for more? January 2017, he said, are you ready for more? And we looked around what the more was and we realized the building next to us, the larger part, the bigger brother, the big half of this building was now available. And this building, 20,000 square feet, it will be when it's finished, will be connected to our building, and it sits right in the middle of our map. We call it like the peace line. We call it like the peace wall. If you're coming from one community, that's as far as you go and no further. If you're coming from the other community, well, then this was your spot. It was a place of joy, but it's also a place of troubles. It's seen so much division over the years. In fact, too many to tell you right now. The stories, we will document all the stories. If you're right, just ask us the stories or just send a message. We'll send you more stories, but there is not time today. But suffice to say that God has called us to this place. And is it about a building? No, not really. But Nehemiah said it was about the walls. And the walls were in ruins. And if the walls would be restored, because back in the Old Testament, the walls signified purpose. They signified protection. They signified the point of the city, the value of the city, the worth of the city. And in turn, it would affect the hearts of the people. And so because the walls were in ruin, it meant the people were in ruin because they knew they were vulnerable. Every attack that would come, God's chosen people, they were sitting ducks. Every attack that would come, they were vulnerable. Every attack that would come, they were sitting ready for it, but knowing that they were defenseless. Imagine going to sleep every night knowing the enemy can walk right up to your door. There is no defense. And so then the Lord causes Nehemiah to watch out from 800 miles away. And he comes to the city and he says, I think God's called me to do something. I think God's called me to do something. And Project Possible is like that for us. And we have to keep the conversation alive because it's easy in the weight to get distracted. You see, we know the story. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls in 52 days. But the story was that the walls have been in ruins for 150 years. In fact, over 150 years. And some people had tried to build in between. And maybe the moral of the story is this. When the work began, it was a speedy work. But in actual fact, it was a long generational work of over 150 years. Wow. And sometimes we can focus on the short term and say, Lord, I thought you were in it, but obviously you're not. And I'm going to challenge this with Project Possible because we dreamt in 2017, by 2022, it will be done. And we're still here and we're still waiting. And plan for mission is this close, but we still really haven't begun. Now, we've raised some money faithfully, which is incredible. Let me take it back. We have raised incredible money faithfully. We've raised over £300,000, which is just miraculous. Miraculous. And it is not a small thing. It is a big thing. But I want to call us to keep it in full attention because it can be easy for the enemy to distract us. It can be easy for us to lose hope. It can be easy in the midst of a miracle to look at whatever else is around us and to say, well, the timing seems to have gone, the people seems to have gone, the opportunity seems to have gone, but for 150 years, the potential of the walls were always there. But it took Nehemiah 800 miles away to come back home, to get favor from the king, and then in 52 days, the walls were built. Can I stretch our faith for a moment today and say that that 52 days could have happened any time within the 150 years? But at the same time, can I say that God's timing was perfect and it was always going to be 150 years? What I'm saying is we're not out to manipulate God, but we're out to be faithful to the promises of God. We're out to be faithful to the call that he's put on our hearts. And I say this, God, you have called us. I'm not sure we'll be the first, but I hope that we will be the last. And my heart is to stir us to say, keep this in your prayers. Don't allow the project prayer to desolate or to dilute. Don't allow it to be discouraged or for you to be discouraged or for it to disappear because people's hearts depend on it. We're after a city. Remember, it was never really about the walls. It was about the people. It's never really been about the building. It's about the people. And we're after a city, just like Nehemiah was. His heart did not break at the walls. His heart broke at the people. Now, here's what we tend to do, and we'll get formed for just a moment because I know we're getting serious. When we read the story about Nehemiah, we hear the 52 days. I know I do. If you haven't read the story in a while, go read it. In Nehemiah 6, you'll hear that they rebuilt the walls in 52 days. But we forget it was a 150-year wait of looking at that rubble over and over and over again, being attacked over and over and over again, just things looking so desolate. The walls were lying in rubble. I mean, you're just so discouraged. You're thinking, God, where are you after all of the stories? It's easy to get focused on the negative, but sometimes we can swing so much over to the other side, we get almost discouraged by the positive. And so here's what I want to say. The truth with our lives is we end up going from the 52 days, yeah, it's definitely happened, to, oh no, it's never happened, it's never happened, it's never happened. We pendulum swing. Ever done that before? You pendulum swing. It's like, I'm really doing this thing. I'm all in on this thing. And then this work, I never want to do this thing. We pendulum swing all the way out. I'm all in on this. I'm all in on this. And then the work, I'm all out of that. I'm all out of that. What if it's just in the middle endurance? What if it's patience? What if it's being faithful? You see, the story was that not only did he do it in 52 days, but also he had to fast and pray for 4 months. That's a long time. A long time. Our minds can get attracted to the shortcut. Because it's just who we are sometimes. We get attracted to the shortcut. But God's into changing us. Because he doesn't want us to get to a place that we're not ready for too quick or too early. His time is always perfect. And he knows that a lot of it is dependent on our change and our transformation. But he has a plan in place. And so I want to encourage his church. God's calling us to pray into the impossible. It's not impossible in the sense that it'll never happen. He's called us and he's invited us with purpose to pray into the impossible. Is it possible that a small church in the middle of nowhere over this next few years could see this building restored and used for the kingdom of God when it was used for so just such terrible things for so long? Divorce, family disagreements, bombs, killing, plotting, and scheming, all sorts of different things. Could it be possible? Could it be possible that God would turn it around with people such like us because we prayed and showed tenacity and we give all that we could and God blessed it? And suddenly this building rises and it is used to transform the city and the nation. I believe it, and I believe that we're called at such a time as this. We have to keep our focus and we've got to keep our faith up. You see, here's what I've realized. Life is always remembered in moments, highlights and lowlights. Think about it just for a moment. What's a real big highlight? For me, this last week, my baby son was born. What a highlight. It's a highlight and it's just so overwhelming. It's just beyond belief. It's hard to put it into words. What's a lowlight? A few weeks ago when the engine of our car just blew up and I thought to myself, what? This is the worst time ever. And yet God was faithful through it. Now, what will I remember? I'll remember the highlights and the lowlights. And I try to remember more highs than lows because it keeps me in faith rather than being discouraged. But how did I live that moment out? And how did Nikki live out that moment when she gave birth to our son during the week? Or when the car went bust and we're trying to get the money, we're trying to find an engine, we're trying to get... It's back working again, by the way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We live out life second by second. This is the reality. Our mind is incredible. We walk through it second by second. We remember it moment by moment. And I want to say to you this. walk out and live out with confidence what God's brought us into. Because yes, you might have to endure for a season. And yes, it may not look like it's going to happen. And yes, it may be like your car's bust. But I tell you what, there's a baby on the way. And yes, it may look like we've got not enough money. But before you know it, we're building this thing and it's come through. We've got to stay in faith and we've got to keep our hopes up. Because God is the one who says, hope in me and I'll renew your strength like the eagles and you will soar. Come on, church. I want to encourage you. Life is lived out every second at a time. We've got to accept that things are not always going to go well. But if we keep our trust in Jesus, he is incredible. Let me read a story to you. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. It's about Jesus and a widow and her son that sadly passed away. Soon after, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain. A large crowd gathered, followed him. Not overly famous story, but I tell you what it was for this woman. A funeral procession was coming out as she approached the village gate. The young man who had died at the widow's was the widow's only son. And a large crowd from the village was with her, and they were crying. And the Lord saw her, and his heart overflowed with compassion. And he said, do not cry. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. And he said, young man, I tell you, get up. Then the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. What a ridiculous, impossible, weird, crazy story. Jesus is just walking, like as if he's walking to the shop, but you know he's up to something. I tell you what, you're never just walking to somewhere. You're never just going through life somewhere. Don't allow yourself to live that life. You are full of purpose, you are full of destiny, and God has divine appointments set up for you. And Jesus was on one of these. He either knew it because he's divine, he knows all things, but as a human being, he was like, I wonder what God's going to do today. Isn't that incredible? And he's walking along, and before you know it, he comes to this village. I don't know if he's been there before, but it's just another everyday village. And then he notices a crowd, and he notices a woman sad, and then suddenly he realized it's a funeral. Now, here's what Jesus is so gracious with. His heart is moved with compassion, and before you know it, he's laying hands on a coffin, and the son is coming back to life. This is impossible. But for Jesus, he can do anything. And this is why we keep our faith alive. And this is why we put our faith in Jesus. And this is why we're not going around telling ourselves it's going to be all okay. It's going to be all good. No. We don't need to live like that. We simply put our trust in Jesus and we go on about our day, following after the things of God, going here, going there, as the Lord would call us, and living out as the Lord has called us to. But isn't this exciting that Jesus turns right at the end of his life and he says, you're going to do greater things than me? So this is normal life for us. Where we're just going about our day, just going up to the next village, going to Tesco, going to wherever you find yourself. And then before you know it, there's a situation. And God speaks to your heart and your heart gets moved. And before you know it, you're praying for a dead son. And now he's back alive and you're giving that son back to his mother. What an unbelievable story. But what an invitation that God's calling us into. This is who we are. People that praise in impossible situations. And we see things happen. We are people that usher in revival. We are people that see the dead raised. We are people that see situations turned around. But the lie of the enemy is, well, you're just like everybody else, kind of. In fact, maybe you're more scared than everybody else because you don't believe what you really have. Or you're like, you second doubt it or you second guess it. And all you're really waiting for is heaven. Come on, church. We got to awaken our hearts. God has called us to the impossible. And so when we see everyday life and it looks impossible, don't get dismayed. Don't get discouraged, but start to believe and start to say, okay, where's Jesus? What's God saying? And it could be that we just begin to have compassion, and compassion's the thing that unlocks everything. I want to remind you the story of Nehemiah again. It said that he looked from afar, and when he heard the report, he began to fast and pray, and he had compassion because his heart was moved. He couldn't get over what had happened to people. He was blown away because his heart was moved with compassion. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, when he heard this, he sat down and wept. In fact, for days he mourned, fasted and prayed. The Bible doesn't tell us it here at this point, but we know it was 4 months. He fasted and prayed and mourned for 4 months. When you hear the word mourn, you know there's been a death, there's been a loss. And Nehemiah heard of his people's distress and they began to mourn and weep. Now, why would he do that? Because I hear people's distress all the time, and a lot of times you can just wash straight over me. It could just disappear. I can forget it even happened. But for some reason, God stuck it in his heart and he began to have compassion. Guys, I want to say this, that miracles start to begin when we start to get compassionate about the people around us. Because God tends to work miracles, if not on people, but for the benefit of people every single time. Jesus came on the cross. Why? Because the Father had compassion on us. Jesus went to the cross because of the love and what was going to happen what was going to happen after the cross, for the breakthrough of his love that was going to be poured out, for what he was going to endure was going to bring wholeness and life and love forevermore. Why did Nehemiah go to the king? Why did Nehemiah fast and pray for 4 months and mourn for the people? Because he began to have compassion. And Jesus moves in this situation because he had compassion on a son. He had compassion on a mom. He had compassion on their hearts because he saw the loss that they were enduring. Guys, I want to pray. And as we go into this prayer time, we go into believing for a house of prayer, things will be unlocked as we begin to have a compassion for the people. So what I want to say is this. When we start to realize that we're starting to get an issue for people, we're starting to get a burden for people, we're starting to get a heart for the city, we know that things are on the way. In fact, I would love you to begin to pray, even if it's next few days, that Lord, give me a heart for the city like never before. Give me a heart for the people like never before. Because God doesn't do miracles to show off. Come on, don't get it twisted on this. God doesn't give you loads of money so you're going to look better than somebody else. God doesn't show off so that he can be the only God in the land. He's perfectly secure. He knows there's no one like him. And he doesn't make people rich just so they have things for the sake of it. He makes you rich. He blesses you. He gives you things. He works miracles because there's people out there that are lost. And his deepest desire is that people would come to heaven with him and have their sins forgiven. Amen? And church, this is what we're after, that we would have compassion. And I believe that God's got more work to do on us. So as we walk through the city, as we walk through the streets of our towns and villages, we begin to have compassion on the people around us, and it causes miracles to flow. So we keep this in our gaze. See, the mom lived every second, but when Jesus spoke, all was turned around. He brought joy when all there was pain and loss and despair. When we go to the city, when we go to our families, we go to Project Possible, we are bringing joy when there is despair. We're bringing life when we've only known death. We're bringing something that has been so destructive, and we're bringing something that's going to bring restoration and wholeness and see transformation in every form. You see, we are called to do great things. And this is why we've got to pray into the impossible. This is why we've got to live in this realm of, in the tension of, it's here, but it's not yet. It's like, it's never going to happen, and it will happen. We live in the impossible. We believe for the impossible. We go after the impossible, because this is who God has called us for. I tell one quick story, and then we're getting ready to finish, but I always remember we got to Greece. One of the things that we're taught the most was, when you get here, look for people with impossible situations. If you want to pray with people, look for people that's got a limb. Look for someone that's sick. Look for someone that you can see visibly, because it's easy that way. And then go pray for them. Go and talk to them. Guys, we are here to speak life into the impossible. We are here to see impossible turn around and to see his love interject into every single situation. So we're called to great things. God promises never fail, and he is always good. You've got to know this on your heart. His timing is always perfect. Keep this in the forefront of your mind when it comes to difficult situations. God is always transforming us on the journey. And will we keep praying for the impossible? This is the request. This is the question. Let me finish off with three quick things as I want to call us to action today. Number one, see what God is doing. You see, you're on the journey of the impossible, but we've got to see what God is doing. In the midst of Project Possible, in the midst of, this is what he's called to us as a church. This is why we keep it in our gaze, because God has called us to. This is not our idea. This is God's command to us. Come on, guys, you're going to transform a city. Come on, I'm giving you the answers to your prayers. Remember, for you, it's a lost loved one that's not come home yet, that's not given their life to Christ yet, that's just still rebelling in the faith. Maybe it's a kid that's being bullied. Maybe it's a life issue that just cannot be turned around. But we've got to focus on, what can we see God doing? What can we see him doing? We may not have seen what we want yet, but God is blessing us everywhere. If we look in church, we see iHeart, we see people here, we see interns, we see people coming from different places, we see people getting saved and healed and transformed. We could forget all that because we're not seeing the one thing we want to see. But let's be focused on, what do we see God do? What do we see? God has promised he is going to bring it. We may not be seeing the physical building right now, but he's building each and every one of us. Number two, see what he can do. See what he can do, and see what we can do. This is what I want us to think about specifically. See what you can do. See what we can do. We can keep praying. We can keep faithful. We can keep our hopes up. Nehemiah 1:4, let me read it again. When he heard this, he responded. He sat down and he wept. In fact, for days he mourned and fasted, and then he prayed to the God of heaven. He was overcome. He was shocked. but he didn't stay there. He began to pray and talk to God because this was going to be the solution. This was going to be the answer. We're doing the same. This is why we're going to pray. This is why we're going to fast. And we're going to call ourselves to action. And then number three, keep moving forward. One of the most important things when you're in a challenge of any sort is, how do I keep moving forward? How do I keep going to church in the middle of this? How do I keep faithful in the midst of this? Maybe you're given to Project Possible. Keep giving to Project Possible in the sense of you're signed up and you're given faithfully. Keep faithful to that because God's going to honor that faithfulness. Maybe you're not yet, but you're looking at it and going, well, this project's not even close to done. Well, you can be part of helping it to come through. And I want to challenge you in this stuff. So the first one I want to challenge you is that we're going to call a fast for 7 days. It links up in so many different ways. In fact, it's really only in the last 100, 200 years that the church has got out of the way of fasting. I don't know why. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, but for us as a church, we have seen fasting work like you cannot believe. We can track general things to it, specific things to it, and then we just see our church and we go, I don't think we would be the same. In fact, we are convinced we would not be the same without it. So I want to challenge you with fasting. And I want to challenge you, we're going to do it on the 5th of September. So we've got like a couple more, week and a half or so. We're going to start on Monday. We'll go right around to the Sunday. We're going to fast for 7 days. We really want to do a few things. We want to lay a foundation for Project Possible. We want to lay a foundation for our prayer and our house of prayer. But we also want to just break things. See, fasting's about breaking. We'll chat more about it next week. But it breaks something inside of us that says, well, this is the way my life is. Fasting breaks things. In fact, can we just say that fasting is just one of those things that just comes into your life and it pulls away some things you really want and think you want and have to have, and then you realize, wow, maybe God fulfills that instead. Fast is one of those things where we give up on this to get something far better. And I want to challenge you, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart and life. And I want to challenge you on this. You may be giving up some physical things. Maybe it's social media, your phone, whatever. All of that's good. But can I challenge you that we're going to go for food as well? Just because there's something about that in the Bible that always talks about fasting food. Because it's one of those things that your body has to have food. And the enemy even came to challenge Jesus and say, wait, why don't you turn the loaf of bread? And he says, I don't live on bread alone, but I live by every word that the Lord gives. And so there's something in this I believe God wants to unlock in us. So we're going to call a fast for 7 days. We're going to pray for the city. Believe God has given us. Absolutely believe for this. Tarry for it. Wait for it. And go after this thing. Believe with expectation. We're going to pray for Project Possible. Maybe recapitalize ourselves again if we've got out of the way of praying for it, or if we forgot, or we've got a bit discouraged. It's okay to be discouraged. Okay to go, I'm not even sure anymore. No, God is in this, and allow the fast to just break something. Lay a foundation for our house of prayer, and we're going to start it on the 5th of September. And then I also want to call this to momentum, because you know that for Project Possible, we are raising money for that. We've raised over $300,000 so far. It's not enough, but it's an unbelievable start. But I want to challenge us that we're going to go for a fresh momentum. So I think last time we said, this time last year, we challenged ourselves for 50 seats. I want to challenge us for 37 seats, because that's going to get us to 200 seats or 400,000. And you're saying, what's a seat? Well, a seat is simply our way of saying, how do we break down the couple of million or whatever it will be to build the building next door, and God only knows, and he'll bless it like feeding the 5,000. But how do we break this down? So we said to ourselves, well, seats are practical. They represent people. We can do bricks, of course. Do a brick if you want. We're doing seats because seats mean something more to us. So a seat adds up to 1,800 pounds or 30 pounds a month for 5 years, whatever way you want to pay. Some people have paid half and half. Some people are doing that right now. But I want to challenge your heart. It's like a pound a day in some ways. Or maybe it's like a subscription to something, or a membership to something, or just a small sacrifice here, a lunch, a coffee, a takeaway, something like that. But you're building the kingdom of God. And you may have already bought six. You may have already got one. I'm saying get another one. Challenge your heart as God has blessed you. Go and work for the kingdom of God. Because there's something about us. As we sacrifice and go, we're going to see the kingdom of God move. So here we're after it in practical terms. We're going to aim for 200 seats. We're going to aim for 37 more, which will get us to 200, which will equate to 400,000. We're getting prepared to build. And there's something about just continuous momentum as we go forward in the things of God. So it's a challenge and a call to action to pray, and a call to action to fast, and a call to action to give. All the things that God loves to challenge our hearts with, because we can get distracted by many other things. I tell you what, obedience is better than sacrifice. When we bring both together, we find that obedience always leads to sacrifice in the kingdom of God. But here's the incredible thing. Reward comes, which is bigger than you and bigger than everybody else. It's kingdom reward. Guys, we're going to pray. And I want to challenge you, if you've not asked Jesus into your life, today is the day where you could say yes to him and ask him to take your sins away. We've seen incredible things over this year, but nothing beats salvation. And I tell you what, we lay all of this down for salvation. In fact, this is the reason for everything that we do. We want to see a city saved. We want to see you saved. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, thank you for your goodness. And we pray for your favor and blessing in every heart. Lord, I pray, and I pray with compassion. I pray with almost just that the Spirit of God just fall in any heart, any life right now. Maybe you're far from God. Maybe you give up on God. Maybe you're like not even interested in God. Or you've just walked into a room, you've just heard something about God, and you're already wanting to walk away. Lord, I pray, challenge our hearts, Lord. Challenge our hearts. Holy Spirit, remind us that there's nobody that loves like you, God. There's no one that forgives like you, God. And there's no one that restores like you, God. And there's no one that can take our sins away. Only God. Lord, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for his work on the cross. Thank you that you endured the cross, and out of that, we got life. Lord, I pray that we would endure the things that God's called us to, and out of that, we'll see reward and blessing, and we'll see a city transformed and saved. But I pray for those who don't know you, and I pray for those who are far. I pray, put your trust in Jesus, and allow him to take away your sins, and I believe you do it right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that the Bible is so clear and so helpful in this. It says, we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, then our sins will be forgiven, we'll be given a brand new start, and our home is secure in heaven forever. Lord, I pray in faith for those who do it, that they would do it right now. Lord, I pray for us as believers. Come on, we can get stuck in things, we can get discouraged in things, we can even lose hope. But I pray today that we would focus our hope on Jesus, and out of that we would renew our strength as you would strengthen us, God. Lord, I thank you for the call of action to pray. Thank you for the call of action to worship and to fast. And I thank you for the call of action and the privilege that we can store up our treasures in heaven, that will build something on earth, that will transform a nation and a community and see people transformed. Lord, I pray for the miracle to take place. And I pray for, like any miracle, it takes compassion. And so I'm praying for deep compassion in our hearts today for the people of Armagh, for our city, for what you've called us to, or for the village that we find ourselves in. Lord, we are here to make a difference in people's lives. It's what you came for. It's what we're here for. Don't let us get distracted or discouraged by other things that would tempt us or cause us to pursue here or there. But Lord, let us have compassion on the people and see broken lives turn around, see dead things come back to life, and see revival break out like we've never seen before. Jesus, you're so kind and so generous. Thank you for what you've called us to. And by faith, we want to see it come to pass. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.